Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And listeners, this is Maxine Marcellini, and I believe I'll be the only host on the program today. My co-host Jeannie is not feeling as well today, so if you want to hold her up in prayer, that would be lovely. And my hope is that you're still going to have a wonderful day enjoying our program as I go about talking with our delightful guest, Pamela Christian. Pamela is a lady who has a lot of exuberance, and I can tell that already from the few words that I've shared with her this afternoon. And she didn't know what it meant when she told God she wanted to be known as a woman of faith, that would mean there was an awful lot that she'd go through before that prayer was to be answered. She's been nicknamed the Faith Doctor because of all she personally overcame. But she's still a down-to-earth lady who wants to be called Pam. Mm-hmm. So she honestly believes what we believe impacts every area of our life, mentally, emotionally, practically, and spiritually. Yet few people take the time to seriously consider what they believe and why. Instead, they adopt the beliefs of a family or their friends or whatever it is that comes and tickles their ears. So Pamela has presented as keynote speaker for both Christian and secular audiences across the states. She's addressed groups from ages 8 to 88, providing single messages, weekend retreats, conferences, seminars, workshops, and more. Her natural curiosity combined with her passion to help others compels her to continually explore life's issues, to find the best solutions and responses. With her goal of enhancing life for herself and others, Pam is a life advocate. Her work as an author, radio talk show host, and hopefully with future television projects is always a way of reaching others with a life-giving truth. And it all began with her teaching a class for community Bible study in 1991, where she found her call and passion to help others know why they believe what they believe. So her interest in apologetics led her to complete a certificate course with Biola, and soon she was invited to speak for retreats for women and conferences across the states. And she has established, as a result, Pamela Christian Ministries. This opened doors for her to host a two-hour weekly radio talk show on KBRT in Southern California. And from there, she got hired by KFAX in San Francisco. And she's just been a very active lady. But one other thing that I find interesting about Pam, probably because I've had heart surgery myself, is she miraculously experienced surviving a sudden cardiac arrest and opened up a ministry also called Bless Your Heart Foundation to bring cardiovascular disease awareness. And then she's got another topic called under and unemployment. So Pam is a woman who really has a lot of interest in what's happening in life today and where she is going and where we are going in our Christian faith. So welcome to the program, Pam.
Oh, Maxine, thank you so very much for having me.
Well, it's a delight. I want to start with something, though, here. Why are you called the Faith Doctor?
That was actually a tag that was given to me because I have been so actively involved in helping other people with their faith. And so it stuck, and I liked it. I'm enjoying it, actually.
And looking at some of your clips, you're wearing a doctor's coat when you're talking sometimes.
Yeah, I have a doctor's coat and stethoscope, and I do play up the whole theme, which actually is part of why my first book that I've written in a three-book series is called Examine Your Faith, Finding Truth in a World of Lies.
So what led you to do that? Why did you decide to get into this whole truth versus lie thing?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have been aware for a long time because I have been working in ministry, as you mentioned, since the early 90s for about 20 years. I've been aware that people are confused. I mean, a lot of people like to claim that all roads lead to the same God and same heaven, or that truth is relative. There's just a lot of misconceptions out there. But when I came across an article that ABC News put out that talked about Americans being really flexible in matters of their faith, and I continued to read this article, and it was explaining that people are trying to combine different faiths, such as Judaism and Buddhism, and that person would be called a Jubu. And Christian, yes, and Christianity and Muslim, and be a Chrislam. And as I read the article, I just couldn't take it anymore. And next thing I knew, I found myself writing the book that, as I said, is turning out to be the first in a three-book series. I want people to know the truth. You know, one of the first questions I ask Maxine whenever I'm speaking is this. I ask, who in this room wants to live your life on the basis of a lie? And no one ever raises their hand to that question.
Of course not.
It's extremely revealing. What that means is the truth is universal, and that we, as human beings, prefer truth over deception or over lies. So right there, with that single question, I'm able to get people in touch with a reality. No one wants to live their life on the basis of a lie. Secondarily, it's my contention that unless we intentionally examine what we believe and why we believe it, we could be deceived and not know it, because it's the very nature of deception that the victim is unaware.
I think you hit on a really important piece right there, is how many people don't know they're being deceived.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do they find out if they're being deceived?
Well, as my book points out, it's a matter of intentionally examining what we believe. Now, the way it came about for me was actually a crisis. I encountered a life crisis. I talk about it in my book. But it brought me to a place where I questioned everything I had ever believed. And I know that many of the people who are listening, they've had that kind of an experience. And it rocked my faith. I realized that even though I was fairly well educated and I thought I was, you know, placing my faith in things that made sense, when I really hit a crisis where I needed my faith the most, it failed me. And then I questioned absolutely everything about life, and it put me on this faith journey.
That's a really interesting point you're making, because a lot of people walk away from their faith when they hit a crisis. So mm-hmm. Would you tell us a little bit more about your own personal crisis of faith?
Yeah. I happen to have I happen to have come from a family that was divorced, and it was a very painful situation for me. I grew up with the idea that I would never do that, that I wanted to find the right man and get married and have a family, and then I believed that I would have the security and love that was missing from my family of origin. And I pursued my life that way until almost age 30, and it resulted in empty relationship after empty relationship after empty relationship. And that was the crisis that I found myself in. I was almost 30 years old. I was farther from anything that I wanted all my life than ever. And at that time, when I cried out, at that moment, I found some answers. I began to find some answers that were completely different. I called out to God, and I found some answers that were completely different from what I had believed up to that point. So that put me on the journey of really finding what is truth, what is faith.
So how do you think people can perhaps create their own faith?
People do it all the time. People believe what they want to believe, and that's part of what this article was talking about. People are creating a faith on the basis that truth is relative, that really is just a matter of satisfying their own personal preferences. It's almost like the same way people program their iPhones, they're programming their faith. And the danger in that, especially since most people believe that we are eternal, we have our spirit and our soul that is mm-hmm. eternal, the danger in that is that you could be placing your faith in something that will not assure your destiny when you're done with this life. And you mentioned I had
tragic.
The sudden cardiac arrest. You know, when I survived that, the time that I was gone, which was about 1 minute, and this is all documented, I went to a place that I refer to as the threshold of heaven. It was extremely beckoning, very, very peaceful. But long story short, I came back, and I was already at that point a believer in Jesus Christ, and it wasn't my time to go, but I came back with an even greater passion to make sure I spend every moment of every day trying to help people discover truth and live in it, because I do know that we are eternal beings.
That's quite exciting that you actually found that out firsthand, and then you got to come back and work off of what you had discovered. Because most people, as you said in that commentary that I was reading, 95% don't come back from a sudden cardiac arrest.
Right, right.
So you were among that 5% that did the miracle.
I totally believe that, and I can't think of a better way to spend my time than to try to help other people find the truth.
Okay, so tell us something about faith and truth. What can we know that will lead us to hold on to the truth? Because like you say, I was reading, did you grow up in the 60s?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact.
Like I did. Okay, and the Hare Krishnas and the whole things were going on at the same time. So how does a young person, or even someone older now, you know, in our age brackets and things, how do they separate faith and truth, or combine faith with the correct truth?
All right, well, let's start with truth. I think that's a great place to start. Again, no one ever wants to raise their hand to the question, who wants to live your life on the basis of a lie? So the first thing we need to do is to really make certain we understand what truth is. Now, a lot of people claim that truth is relative. What you believe is fine for you, but what I believe is true for me. You've probably heard that.
Right,
so
definitely.
So a relativist would be a person who would also say there is no such thing as absolute truth. But that's using the law of absolute just to make that statement. When you say there is no such thing as absolute truth, that is an absolute statement. So you can't have it both ways.
Right.
And in order for us to really understand what truth is, we need to know that there has to be three matters that are in place at the same time. In order for something to be true, number one, it must line up with reality. Number two, only one thing can be true and all opposing matters are false. And number three, the truth is universal. When all three of those are in place, you can be certain that you are in a matter of truth or whatever it is that you're considering.
Say, can you give us an example of that, Pam?
Yeah, you actually use one in my book. For example, when my children were little, if the cookies are gone and there's cookie crumbs on my children's face, no, the fact that the cookies are gone is reality, right? Then there's evidence of crumbs on their face. I can see that anything opposing, I mean, there's no other children in the room, no other cookie crumbs on anybody else's mouth. So the three things are in place just with that one example. The truth lines up with reality. Yeah. The truth lines up with reality. Only one thing can be true and all opposing matters are false, and the truth is universal.
Listeners, we're talking today with Pamela Christian, and she has written a book called Examine Your Faith, Finding Truth in a World of Lies. Okay, let's get back, Pam, to talking more about this world of lies, because I can see it shaping up so often in our political arena today. We're being asked to accept things, vote on things that literally take us away from the truth of what God intends us to build as a foundation into our lives. How can we sort through that? How can we sort through the political scene, for one thing?
Well, I think the way that we have to sort through anything is always to be in search of the truth. And so those three points that I made is an excellent guideline. And one of the things that you asked me a bit ago is how is faith and truth interrelated? No one wants to have faith that's based on a lie, so we definitely want to know what truth is. But on the matter of faith, people are also very confused. I use the most popular online dictionaries to look up the definition of the word faith, and consistently what I saw written there was actually wishful thinking. That's not at all what faith is.
Wow,
faith,
that's scary.
Yeah. Faith, the way I define it, is this. Faith is something where we have enough objective, verifiable evidence to allow us to believe for what is yet to be proven. So it's not blind faith, and it's not without any basis. There is sufficient basis, and there's enough of a sufficient basis that we can believe in what is yet to be proven or experienced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that. I believe we've got evidence. I believe that the Lord did not leave us without truth to fall back on and truth to undergird our lives. So what about this perspective on good and evil? A lot of people kind of mess with that and what's true and what's not true and what's good and what's evil. How are you going about approaching that subject?
Well, I don't go into that in a lot of detail in this book. It will come out in the next two books. But what you're talking about is morality, and that's all over the place, too. We don't have common morals that people are willing to hold in a society that we once did in America. I mean, I remember being a little girl, and it was the common morals were much more consistent among citizens in my days of being a little girl than they are today. And that basically gets down to we have to understand that good and evil both coexist. I mean, we can see that every day just reading the newspaper. Good and evil both coexist in this world. And then we have to settle the matter for ourselves. What is the origin of good and what is the origin of evil?
Yeah, and then choose, hopefully, the good.
Mm-hmm. But again, I believe with all my heart that unless we intentionally examine what we believe and why we believe it, we could be deceived and not know it. I mean, I hear things all the time through media, through television, through radio. I read billboards. I see things in print. I am taking in information every day, every minute of every day. And it doesn't mean that everything I'm taking in is true or based on truth.
Okay, so in part two of this book, you've got faith findings that take us through Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, secular Islam, and Christianity. Can we take a minute or two on each one of those so you can maybe tell us where those chapters are taking us?
Well, my objective in doing that, number one, is I respect people and I respect their intelligence. I respect the fact that faith is very personal. And what I wanted to do was to write a book that was that reflected all of that, and that allowed a person to discover the information, discover the truths, and conclude for themselves, conclude for his or herself. I tried to be as inductive as possible. Yes, I am already, I am definitely a Christian. I admit that in the beginning of my book. But I've tried to be just as objective as possible to allow the reader to make up his or her own mind. In fact, I had one person who's purchased my book make the suggestion of tearing out the page of endorsements so that that doesn't influence a reader as they go through the book if they're truly trying to discover truth and want to remain as objective as possible.
That's interesting.
Yeah. As I mentioned, the article that I read where people are trying to combine their faith, that just set me over the top. So I felt it was really important to have a chapter devoted to each of the top five world religions and New Age, so that people could see the basic tenets of each of the respective philosophies or beliefs. A lot of people want to say that all religions are equal and they all lead to the same God and the same heaven. But if you just take this cursory overview, these just individual chapters that I've provided, it becomes glaringly apparent that there is no way we could have religious pluralism. There's no way we can harmonize all these different beliefs and philosophies without some serious compromise. And my concern is that the compromise would be the eternal life of the person who's misled.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that because if we look at John, it's telling us he is the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and a lot of people, Maxine, really take exception to Christianity being so exclusive is what they declare. People like to say, because of that statement that Jesus himself said, I am the only way, no one comes to the Father except through me, people take exception with that. But, you know, in reality, the word, the Bible, also explains that whosoever believes shall be saved.
Right.
So
right.
It's really not that Christianity is exclusive. It's inclusive to anyone who wants to believe.
Yeah, in Christ, to believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing that all of this is hinging on, then, is the different views of Jesus. Who is Jesus to the Jewish believers? Who is Jesus Christ to these different religions?
I had a lot of fun seeing that as I did my research and study for the book. In actuality, Judaism, Muslim, and Christianity have very similar beliefs, mm-hmm. leading all the way up through the person of Abraham,
right.
who was Abram originally. he and his wife, Sari, whose name was later changed to Sarah, if you remember, were given the promise that they would have a child, a son would be born to them, and he would be Israel. They got impatient with God's timing, and if you recall the story from the Old Testament, Sarah gave her maidservant to her husband, which I guess was common at that time, and she bore a son, Ishmael. And it's from these two sons, the son of promise, Israel, who was later born, and Ishmael, that's where Judaism, Muslim, and Christianity take their departures.
Okay, so we're Isaac and Ishmael then became the two nations that became opposites, obviously, as time went by.
But it was very interesting to see how much the tenets of the faiths were so surrounded, so very similar. I found it fascinating, actually.
You can actually see by studying some of these that they go back to the same origin with with Abraham. They go back to that same initial spot, but then they branch off differently, totally.
Exactly. And you ask the question of who is Jesus. Well, to the Jews, Jesus was just a prophet. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. To the Muslims, he was just a good teacher, a prophet, but not the last prophet. And to Christians, quite differently, he is the Son of God who was sent by God to redeem the world for whosoever believes in him.
Okay. Thankfully, I'm always glad that I've found the way to believe in him, because there just is no other way to get right with God or to have peace within yourself, as far as I'm concerned. So,
well, that's how I
discovered
it.
Others may argue with that, but that's my thought on it.
Yeah.
So there's been so many prophecies fulfilled concerning Jesus. So it's like, how can there still be arguments against him being the way when the prophecies are being fulfilled?
Well, Maxine, that's a fascinating question also. When people, and again, I respect people's intelligence. Even the Bible, God speaks, he says, come now, let us reason together. That's in the book of Isaiah. We need to use our mind. Faith is not something that is just blind. It's not something we just choose to believe. It needs to be based, as I said before, on enough objective, verifiable evidence that we can believe for what is yet to be proven. When it comes to faith in Jesus Christ, if a person just looks at the archaeological, the statistical, the historical, the evidence after evidence, in fact, it's been said that with every turn of the archaeologist's spade, the Bible is being proven true again and again. If you just look at the evidence, and that's all I'm asking people to do with my book, is look at the evidence and then make a rational conclusion.
Yeah, the evidence, I don't know how anybody can argue with it once they take a look at it. Could you explain a little bit of that evidence to the people?
Well, as I said, there's archaeological evidence, there's historical evidence, and what I did in my book was I used extra-biblical historical evidence to help support the reality and the history surrounding the person of Jesus Christ. The probability of statistics, the numbers of prophecies that have been fulfilled, I write about this in my book, the numbers of prophecies that have been fulfilled, to statistically have that happen is virtually impossible. I don't even know the number, how to say the number with all the zeros that follow after it whenever the statisticians do their calculations in order to see what the probability of all of those prophecies in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus could be done. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's just if you've studied the Bible from beginning to end, you can see that this had to be God's handiwork all the way through. Otherwise, the statistics just would not have been proven at all.
Right.
So, Pam, as we're getting a little bit short on time right now, could you explain to our listeners, maybe there's one or two things that they need to do to really begin to examine the truth rather than believe the lie?
Well, the first thing is to be brave, because it's very, very difficult. It was for me when I came to that faith crisis to realize that my entire life had been based on deception. You need to be brave. You need to courageously decide to examine what you believe and why you believe it. For some people, it will feel very much of a betrayal to their parents or other people who have influenced them to even question their beliefs. But as I hope has been pointed out, unless we intentionally and deliberately examine what we believe and why we believe it, we could be deceived and not know it. And Maxine, faith is a lot like automobile insurance. It needs to be firmly in place before there's a crisis, or it's no good.
You said you take people from believing faith to effective faith, mm-hmm. to excellent faith. What do you mean mm-hmm. by that?
Well, again, I've found that there's three books out of this single effort. And so the first part of faith would be saving faith. And that's what we're talking about in this first book that we're visiting on today. Effective faith would be faith that produces results. And thirdly, excellent faith would be faith that's based on God's love for others.
Yeah, I like that. Now, these are going to be your next two books are going to be mm-hmm. built on the effective and the excellent faith?
Yes, and really what we're looking at is faith, hope, and love.
Okay, wonderful. Pam, would you tell our listeners then how they can find your materials? Where can they get a hold of your books? Where can they ask you to come be a speaker for them?
Thank you for that. And I also want to throw out that this book is endorsed by Josh McDowell, and Dr. Craig
cool.
Hazen, and Dan Story, among others. So I'm just really pleased with the kind of response I've gotten so far. The book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and any of your other fine retailers, book retailers. It's also available on my website, which is PamelaChristianMinistries.com, plural, PamelaChristianMinistries.com. And there they can see the book trailer. It's a very, very compelling book trailer. Learn more about the book, maybe even take advantage of my blog. And if they do that, if they subscribe to my blog or my e-newsletter, they'll automatically be enrolled in our book launch contest where I'm giving away Kindle versions and free books. And depending on the sales, ultimately it could be a $250 cash prize. So there's a
wow.
lot going on my website.
Yeah, listeners, tune in. Go to Pamela's website, PamelaChristianMinistries.com. And that's quite exciting. Do you have one parting comment you'd like to leave us with today before we end the program, Pam?
Thank you for that. Again, no one ever raises their hand when I ask who in this room wants to live their life on the basis of a lie. And so I really encourage your listeners to be as courageous as possible, to be systematic in reviewing what they believe and why they believe it, and to ultimately make certain that they arrive at a faith conviction that they truly believe in. Because if there's any doubt, if there's any concern, and you come upon a time when you need your faith, it will fail you unless it's based on truth.
Well, you have challenged me today, Pam, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate how you have spoken with our listeners, and would ask that they would tune in and hear a little bit more about you, and I pray that your ministries go very well. Thank you for joining us today. We've had a wonderful time chatting with you.
Thank you so very, very much, Maxine, and I hope Jeannie gets better soon.
Yes.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at the river. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.